So normally we don't see her. You have to have some spiritual vision. So she sprayed Krishna with the Jamuna water, and then the elephant of Indra sprayed. No, she sprayed. Indra's elephant sprayed with the Jamuna water, and she sprayed with her milk. And then also there was a pastime when Markandeya Rishi, he has a blessing to live for so many kalpas. But when there's the big universal pralaya and flooding, then he can live, but he has to eat also. So he's being battered around by the waves, and he has no food, and so he's like going to die just of starvation. Not because of his longevity can be like that, but he has to also eat. And somehow he saw this island floating. It says that the Navadvip islands, they don't get destroyed by pralaya. They just float into the pralaya waters. And they're all spiritual islands. So they expand in size, or they have a big expansive size in the higher dimension. So there the Markandeya Rishi, somehow he got to the shore, and that was on the Godram Dweep, was floating, and he saw the Surabhi cow, so he prayed, "Please save me, because if I don't get something to eat, then I'm going to die. Please give me some of your divine milk." So she squirted some milk in his mouth, and that way he was saved. Also Lord Nityananda, he started the Namhat movement at Surabhi Kunj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also did the restarted the Surabhi, the Namhat at Surabhi Kunj. He used to go there and chant his japa. So now we tried to get that place, but one of the Gaudiya Mats somehow got it. But they're very friendly to us. And there's some young sadhus who are, as their guru passed away, then we go there every year. They give a big welcome to the ISKCON devotees, and they're going to build a temple there for Surabhi Devi. So what more can I say? It's on the side of the Jalangi River, just opposite from Mayapur. So this is a very, of course, Mathura, you know enough about Mathura, so no need to speak about Mathura. But that's about Surabhi Kunj. If anybody has a question for me, I have to go and do some other seva.
I beg your pardon, actually. I asked the same question in temple also, but I couldn't understand my subtle mind. Didn't understand that. Actually, why we keep the duties on our left side? That's what I asked. But I couldn't get
it. It's the tradition that the Krishna is kept to the left out of respect. So when we bow down, technically we're supposed to put the guru in the front. And then the other devas, they're bowing down to Krishna also. So we offer our obeisances to the devas with the right side. It's how that was chosen, but that's how it's handed down. Krishna left, guru front, devas to the right. And you asked me about
sports
and cinemas. So I said, normally, of course, the young people, they're playing sports for exercise and keep body tone. And Prabhupada also mentioned that Krishna used to play wrestling and also swimming. These are very good to keep the body tone. Apart from that, some sports are very complicated, and they take a lot of time. So it's like generally we try to avoid. If someone's very good and they're like a professional or something, then it's not really a frivolous sport, it's like their occupation. But otherwise sometimes people spend so much time, just like when they had the Premier League cricket and this and that, people are going mad, you know, trying to see. And then after a while I think they start getting bored, so maybe it was good. But to spend rather so much time in some type of sports, it's one thing if you're playing it to get exercise, another thing if you're just like when in the West you get the newspaper. Even here newspapers are smaller, but there they have huge like 80 page newspaper, and about one huge section will be all about sports. Maybe sometime one third of the newspaper. And this one and that one and how this one. So to be too much, distracted by all that, that's a bit of a waste of time, or to gamble on it or things like that. As far as cinemas, if there's something really useful, something interesting. There's like this movie called, it's an old one now, it's like not prehistoric yet, but maybe historic. It's called Ghosts. And that one, it's kind of interesting because whatever the Bhagavatam says about ghosts, this more or less matches up. And when people die, there's some kind of Yamaduta type people. If they're sinful, they drag them off, and if they're good, they got some shimmery light goes and they go up. And so a little bit something, at least you can say that maybe they read Prabhupada's books when they made the movie. And says that ghosts don't have any senses. So they're frustrated because they cannot enjoy. And so there was one of the actors was playing a frustrated ghost, and he was lamenting that, "I want to smoke a cigarette so bad." And he got angry and hit the cigarette machine, and it broke, some cigarette thing. But he has no senses, he's just in a subtle platform. So of course the whole theme is a love story as usual, but at least not too much sensual. But it gives a good, interesting idea. So like that, if there's something that somebody says is useful. I was looking yesterday, I walked in one of these malls, I was taking my japa walk in the mall, it was raining outside. And there was one movie about life after death. So I thought, what's their idea about life after death? And it had, because it won what they call those awards they get, not Olympic, but Oscar award for special effects. Because I'm also I'm part of the team that's supposed to design the exhibits in Mayapur for the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. So sometimes I see things that have good special effects or something, just to see what the standard is nowadays. And this had a person die and kind of go to his dream world and then go to hell and different things. If you want to see it, I pass on. It's not very Krishna conscious. I mean, it's not so much, it's kind of weird actually, but shows their concept of life after death. There's probably better ones. Matrix number one, we were recommended. I think that Bhakti Tirthamaraj took his followers, they went to see that because there's this thing where there was somebody in it who is, he sells out to the computer. It's like these men against the computer. Right? You probably saw Matrix, right? So then but the other two and three are pretty bad. But number one was pretty good. And so number one is this person. He actually leaks out where all the Matrix people are. It's like a devotee who sells out to Maya. And he said, he knows it's illusion, he knows, but he said, "I just, sometimes the illusion is better than the reality. I just told them, give me a good illusion, give me a good happy situation in the Matrix." And he actually, so that was kind of interesting. So if you find something, somebody, tells you that has something Krishna conscious, maybe sometimes you can see it, discuss it, what's the Krishna conscious aspect to it. Once I saw this with the City of Angels, about an angel. And he was like, their concept was an angel would help people die and go on to the next world, and they would watch over people in the hospital. So he's in the hospital all the time, fell in love with a human doctor. And so showed how he fell down. from being an angel. Kind of interesting to see how Maya works. And then he met another a patient in the hospital, and that patient could see him because he was a previously fallen angel. He could see the angels. So it's kind of like a devotee who falls. So sometimes rarely you find that some movie has something value, you know, a little bit, something, nothing very direct. Otherwise, but you try to avoid just frivolous movies that have no use for all this. Well, no, you can tell also from the reviews, you know, if it's just gonna a normal love story or something. I don't personally, I've never been, since I've been a devotee, never went to the movie hall. But sometimes someone recommends a CD that this one's good, or you're on a flight or something. There's a, if you can get, if you're on a flight, you get a, what they call a promo, the clip, that for 5 minutes or 10 minutes it shows you, then you can figure out if you want anything useful or not. Pardon?
Could you speak a little bit on the compassion and love of Krishna and how Srila Prabhupada manifested that love of compassion? Maharaj, before that, one thing I want to add, we also used to watch movies, but as you also watch and you have compared and you have connected those movies to Sri Krishna, but we never did like that.
Ah, Maya. Sometimes there's movies that the devotees are in. Because we have our branch in Culver, next just to our Lasia, Watsika Avenue, the LA temple, is on the other side of the Venice Boulevard, is Culver City. And in Culver City, there's Sony, which is now owns the Columbia, and there's Fox, and a few other big, huge, massive studios. And then nearby is Hollywood. So some of them come over to take prasadam at our restaurant, or they send their some famous names, I forget now. I have disciples who's the head cook for the restaurant and someone who's in the guest shop in the cash register. So there's some big movie star. Madonna sends over her person. She didn't come herself, but to get some takeaway prasad. So sometimes whenever they want to put Hare Krishnas in the movies, then they go and they talk to the president, sign a contract. Because the real Hare Krishnas are better than the fake ones. So they have us doing Hare Nam in some street, and some big actor will be running by, and they'll be the Hare Krishnas. So they tell us when which movies we're in. Sometimes that's an excuse, you can see the Hare Krishnas in the movies. I don't know if you want to know which ones we're in. I can write to the general managers, my disciple. He can tell us. But yeah, the real thing was that what is the point in this material world? We struggle, we grow, we create some byproducts, we get some children, or maybe if we get married, or and then we get old and we die. And then we again take birth again. So this is going on. So the greatest mercy is when someone can deliver us from this cycle of rebirth. Even greater than that is if they can give us Krishna, so we can go back to the spiritual world, go to Krishna and serve Him. So Lord Chaitanya not only gives us liberation, but He gives us love for Krishna. And Prabhupada's His pure representative, He came. I was so moved when I heard in 1967, I became a devotee in 68. But I heard this, I was one time listening to a class by one devotee, who was, there are too many devotees older than me, but he was older than me in terms of Krishna consciousness. And he was telling how when Prabhupada was in New York, he got a stroke and he was paralyzed. from the neck down. Now normally if somebody is paralyzed from the neck down, they'll probably be bed rest and they won't do anything. But he was so much interested to keep the Krishna conscious movement going. This is maybe his last chance, so he didn't know. He was, said that although that they had to bathe him, they had to change his clothes, they had to help him do everything, all the private things. But he would be constantly preaching to them about Krishna. So where do you find someone who is so merciful? He's paralyzed, he's still telling his disciples about Krishna, trying to give them the last bit of knowledge he can. When I heard that Prabhupada was so merciful, I couldn't help but cry. Who is incomparable? You never find anyone like that. He's just giving and giving. Somehow by Krishna's mercy recovered, and then he went for brisk walks every morning. Being with Prabhupada, he would come here to India. I came to India in 1970. And I've been living here since then, now 38 years, Indian citizen now. And so Prabhupada would come about twice a year to Mayapur, one time for a month and a half, 2 months, another time for 2-3 weeks at Gaur Purnima time. So in the other time, when he was here for a long time in Kartik or Agrayan, then he would give us so much association. And that time, every day from about 4 to 6, he had an open door policy where anybody could come and see him. As he said, in India, the gurus had to be available to the people. So like in the West, it was harder to see Prabhupada, but here. So Subhag Swami, he used to go every day, take the darshan, the open door policy, and he'd ask questions and come. So I remember one time when police inspector came and he said, I want to be your disciple. And probably most gurus, some police officer comes, senior officer, they probably wouldn't ask too many questions, just okay. But Prabhupada said you had to chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, then you can get initiation. So he was very merciful, but at the same time he had principles. He wasn't, even if some big commissioner or minister, he would say you had to be vegetarian, you had to follow. That was the principles that he enforced. He wanted that people, if they take initiation, they get back to Godhead. And he wanted to teach us also how we can deal with people, how we can preach to people, how we can cultivate people. So, of course, one thing, the Subhag Maharaj, at that time he wasn't a sannyasi, he was a brahmachari. Apparently there was a famous cricket player called Pinaki Rai from previous yugas. And he's the nephew of Pinaki Rai. I don't know if anybody heard his name, but because that's like now we know only Talukdar, you know, what's his name? Not Talukdar, but Talukdar?
Tendulkar.
And Dohi and others. So. But that anyway, so he was known by the elderly people from that period. Fairly good, well-established family. So when he came and he was, his Prabhupada had engaged him because he went, he got a master's degree in England. Came back, but he met the devotees and became a devotee there. In fact, he made Bhakti Vrajananandan Swami a devotee by distributing books in Birmingham. So he was preaching in England. Just like many of you coming here to Bangalore to work, but maybe your parents don't know that here you're practicing Krishna consciousness. They're very happy. My son has got a very good job in Bangalore. So when he came back and he was in Mayapur, she found out. So the mother came, and Bengali mothers are very sentimental. Maybe all mothers, but they're special. They're rolling. She started rolling in the ground and crying, "Give me back my son. He has to come home." And then Prabhupada said, I'm not stopping him. You can take your son. So really? Really? You know, she goes, sure. We don't force anyone to stay here. If you want to go, you can go. If you want to stay, you can stay. It's up to you. Then he said, no, but Prabhupada, I want to stay with you. Now the mother is very happy. Just that initial shock, you know, that they because they're like, somehow Maya gets them inspired that somehow your son's life will go if she's a devotee. But actually, it's not like that. Now they're very happy. They come out and cook and things and do, yeah?
How to get rid of the desire for recognition? If we are doing some service, there's a deep desire for recognition.
But we want to give all the recognition to Guru and Krishna, that if I do anything, at least to any degree proper, that it's because of Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. So they're the ones that should get. So when anyone gives us any kind of recognition, we shouldn't take it ourselves, we should pass it on. Then that way, because anyway you're going to get recognition. To desire it is a waste of time. If you're a sincere devotee and you're serving Krishna, Krishna will arrange you get recognition, just like he did for Arjuna. But if you desire it, you don't get it, then you start feeling frustrated and why they recognized him, I did as good as him, maybe even better, and you get all into the false ego.
That's last question that was.
Yeah, to actually. Yeah. Okay, that was the last.
Thank you.
Thank you.